If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to Acts chapter 9. Some of our Bible school teachers are here tonight, and I don't know if God will give you anything from this to use next Wednesday night, but he has certainly stirred my heart. And it's a simple message tonight, but I want to share with you some things concerning the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. He becomes the Apostle Paul, God's chosen apostle to the Gentiles. And I sure am glad he included the Gentiles, aren't you? Yeah. Amen. We would have been a heap of trouble. I'm glad the Lord included me. The Bible said in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, he went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." I just now caught something right there. I want you to think about this. What did Jesus say? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Who did Saul think he was persecuting? Answer me. He thought he was persecuting the Christians, those that were of this way. Looks to me like Jesus takes it pretty personal. Amen. He said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. No wonder the Bible said in another place, I think it might have been in the book of John, I'm not sure, but inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Isn't that a blessing? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, that would be Paul, trembling and astonished, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou, I like this word, must do. So many people today think that this thing of dealing with God and God's salvation is multiple choice. No, Jesus said you must be born again. The Bible said here, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. I don't know why I hadn't caught that before. He didn't have anything to eat or drink for 3 days. He couldn't see. He didn't want to eat, and he didn't want to drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, and that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man. He's got a little bit of an objection, doesn't he, with the Lord? It's almost like, Lord, I've heard. Have you heard? Are you sure about this? How much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here He hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. I'm trying not to preach until I get done reading. But the people were seeing one thing when God was seeing another. While others saw, the songwriter said, a shepherd boy, God saw a king. That blesses me tonight. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. In other words, he was telling Paul he wasn't going to be a TV evangelist. I'll go on. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way, entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, which appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed. And they said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their lying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Can I ask a question? Do you blame them? And believe not that he was a disciple. I love these two words, but Barnabas. Don't you love Barnabas and the Word of God? But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Jerusalem or at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming and going out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, sent him forth to Tarsus. And I really, really never until today saw verse 31 exactly, I believe, the way God wants us to see it in its context. The word then, the churches had rest. I'm telling you, this conversion meant a lot. They were living in fear of being locked up, being beaten, being jailed, being hauled into court. The charge was being a Christian, being one of this way, calling on the Lord. But after all this happens and what we've read so far in the chapter, then the churches had rest. I do know this. It's wonderful to have rest. The Bible said, Jesus said, Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Paul found that rest. And because he found that rest, the churches in the area, all Judea, Galilee, Samaria, they were edified. Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Let's pray for a moment and I'll give you a little bit of what God's speaking to my heart about. Father, thank you tonight. for this precious old book. Thank you, God, for this man we know. Lord, I'd hate to think tonight of what we would be missing as far as doctrine. What we would be missing, Lord, as far as our knowledge of God and our knowledge of heaven if Paul was not converted. I think about the books, our Lord. God, how they speak to our hearts. Over in Thessalonians, you said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. How much we would have been missing. Lord, you've used this man. And I pray tonight, Lord, as I speak about this conversion, God, that you would speak to our hearts. Help us, we pray. Lord, I pray that when we have Bible school next week, God, you speak to hearts. Lord, I can't wait just to see what you're going to do. We're asking you, in faith to work in our midst. And Lord, I pray that the little ones, the juniors, the teenagers, somebody would get a glimpse of him that Paul got a glimpse of on the road to Damascus. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I've read this chapter many times, preached from it several times, I know, in my ministry. But tonight it seems like the Lord has just given me a little bit different take on it as we talk about the conversion of Saul. I want to give you several things tonight. I believe there's five of them that we see two of. I don't have it really outlined in the margin of my Bible. I just underlined some things in the Scripture. But the first thing I want you to see is two ways. The Word of God said here in verse number 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, he went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way. There's two ways in these first two verses that are pictured. One, we find it over in the book of Proverbs chapter 14, I believe it is, in verse number 12, where the Word of God said, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Apostle Paul, beloved, did not believe that he was going against God when he was going after these people. The Apostle Paul believed that he was, of course, he's Saul at this time, you understand, but he believed that he was doing God a service. And yet he was in a way that seemed right to the Jew, seemed right to Saul of Tarsus, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Had Saul died in that way that seemed right, Saul would have lifted his eyes in the region of the damned. There's another way that's pictured here. There's two ways. There's a way that seems right, and there's a way that is right. And the Bible said here in verse number 2, any of this way. You said, preacher, what do you mean? This way is talking about his way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's kind of simple tonight, but it's amazing to me that eternity is going to be divided only two ways. His way and every other way. There are many ways that seem right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. People will say to us that believe the Bible, that believe Jesus is the only way to heaven, they'll say, you're narrow-minded. And we are. Beloved, either you believe this book or throw it in the trash can and go do your own thing. Amen? This book doesn't teach there's two or three ways to heaven. It teaches there's only one. Thank God for a Savior. We got in this way because He bled and died for our sin. They buried Him, but He didn't stay dead. He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Amen. The gospel, the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad tonight that when you're talking about conversion, real conversion, there's two ways. There is a way that seems right, but thank God there is a way that is right. You say, preacher, how do you know if you're in the right way? Best way I can describe it's in that last verse right there that I read. You'll have rest. Thank God there's a peace that passes all understanding. Brother Larry, I tried all them other ways and I never did have that rest. I never did have that peace. But when I came to Jesus, oh, happy day for the joy and the peace that He gave me. He didn't just take a mess out of my life, but He had a bucket and He dumped that bucket in my life, filled us with love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness. The Word of God said, faith, temperance, against such there is no law. So tonight, I see two ways. The second thing I see tonight in this story is two voices. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, the Bible said in verse number 3, there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice. Listen, I don't want to trip anybody up tonight, because I don't know, maybe some people do hear an audible voice. I tell you what, if you've ever been saved by the grace of God, you know what it is for God to speak to your heart. Amen. I'm not talking about, I believe Paul, Saul, heard an audible voice. Amen. In other words, this is a dramatic conversion here that we're looking at. And not all conversions will be this dramatic on the outside. But I tell you what, they all end up just as dramatic on the inside. When Christ comes in and changes that life. And so we see the voice of the Lord. And I want to say something tonight. I feel compelled to say this right here. A lot of people, when they're weighing out voices, the Word of God said it like this, try the spirits. Try them. You say, Pastor, why do we need to hold them on trial? Because let me tell you something about the voice of God. It will never disagree with the Word of God. It'll always line up with the Scripture. When we're hearing something that does not line up with the Scripture, I promise you it's from that other one that's the author of confusion. It could be from the flesh, but it's from the adversary when it does not line up with the Word of God. There's two voices. I heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? Not only was there the voice of the Lord that's recorded here, but the Apostle Paul spoke back to that voice. And he said, who art thou, Lord? I believe it was so real in Paul's life, and the life was so bright that he must have had an idea. I know that you can use the word Lord in different ways, but he must have had an idea. There's something here that I've never experienced before. I've never experienced this at the feet of Gamaliel. I've never experienced this, being a Pharisee of Pharisees. I've never experienced what I'm experiencing right now. And the Lord spake to him again. He said, who art thou? The Bible said, I am Jesus. Why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and honest and astonished, said, here comes Paul's voice again. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We talked about submission. I believe it's important. One preacher said one time, he said, there's more lies told behind songbooks than anywhere else in the world. Because people will sing a song like, I surrender all, knowing good and well. They're not surrendered to the Lord. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, there was a surrendering going on right here. There was a surrendering of the will. Who art thou, Lord, and what would you have me to do? He said, arise and go into the city, So thus far, we've looked at two ways. Thus far, we've seen that there's two voices involved in the story. Now I want to come on down in the text and show you that there's two visions. I want to glean something from this tonight. That, listen, I don't put a lot of stock in dreams and vision, though God's let me have some lately that I've enjoyed. I won't go into that. God's let me have some dreams. It's been a blessing to me. Amen. I got to have another one last night. But listen, I'm not saying that God's people can't dream. Yes, we can. But as far as having these visions like this, I don't think I've ever had a vision like this. I believe when the Word of God, the canon of Scripture, was completed, that these things just go off of the scene. Are you listening to me tonight? God don't want us looking for a sign. He wants us looking in the Scripture. He wants us living by faith and walking by faith. Watch this, though. There's something I want to bring out about these visions that I think is important. And Saul arose, the Bible said, from the earth, and his eyes were opened, and he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there without sight, and neither did he eat or drink, nor drink. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, here am I. Here's what I want you to get out of this. This is the way God spoke to my heart about this text. It's important. There's a conversion going on here, and there's a vision. Ananias has a vision. Please don't miss what I'm going to say right here. Paul has a vision. And I believe what God's wanting to say to us right here is that it's not uncommon at all when someone is being converted that God is working on both ends. It reminds me of Austin, Brother Steve. When the nurse said to the preacher, Are you from the other hospital? And he said, No, I'm a pastor. Austin begins to weep and says, How did you know? God was working on both ends. And he said, Son, what do you mean, how did you know? He said, Last night, I was telling the Lord, I'm tired of living like this. And I need some help. How did you know? The way God dealt my heart this afternoon, I've had the blessing. Listen, I've known the blessing of God working on this end and God working on that end. But I'm just wondering how many times I missed God on this end when he was still out yonder working on that end. Most of the time, it's because we're too cotton-picking busy. Ananias heard him, Brother Ralph. He heard what God was saying to him. And Paul heard what God was saying to him. I don't know. You listen, I want to challenge you. Listen, I know some of you right here are experiencing some health issues. And I know that you're not able to do a lot of things, but there's a whole lot of people sitting right here tonight that won't be here Saturday morning that's more than able to get out yonder and hand somebody a Bible school flyer, stop along the road at the Ball Diamond or somewhere where there's a bunch of kids gathered up and hand out 30 or 40 of them right quick and say, we'd love to have you in our Bible school next week. You tell me what's going on Saturday morning that's more important. I'm not fussing. But I found out a long time ago, we pretty well do what we want to. I'm glad Ananias wanted to do what God wanted him to do. I'm glad Paul wanted to do what God wanted him to do. There's two visions here. And he said, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight. And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Maybe that's why he didn't want anything to eat for 3 days. And the word of God said, and he has seen in a vision a man named... Ain't that good? I said, ain't that good? Paul sees in a vision a man named Ananias come. And so God speaks to a man named George. No, he speaks to a man named Ananias. God's working on both. I'll tell you something right now. Outside of being saved yourself, there's nothing more beautiful that I can think of in the world than going through something and knowing that God was working on both ends. I sat at a man's table today with his grandchildren. He bore his heart to me and pointed up towards heaven. He said, I believe God's working. I'm glad you came. I came because I was burdened for those teenagers. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It's just good to be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. And know that God is working on both ends. The Bible said here, then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon thy name. The Lord didn't fuss at Ananias. He understood, didn't he? Just like when John the Baptist said, go ask Jesus, art thou he, or should we look for another? He didn't fuss at him. Matter of fact, he told that crowd, there's not a man born of woman greater than John. God knows us. He knows our weaknesses, our down sittings and our uprisings. He knows we're but flesh and that we're frail. God knows us. But he just said to Ananias, he said, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me. Boy, ain't that good. Can you imagine in the days and the weeks and the months and the years ahead how glad Ananias was, Brother Steve, that he listened to the Lord, that he didn't listen to the crowd, that he didn't listen to just what made sense, so to speak, concerning this man named Saul. I see two ways. I see two voices. I see two visions. But I see two men. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? I see the old man and the new man. The old man is the one that Ananias spoke of. He's done much evil to the saints at Jerusalem. He hath authority to the chief priests to bind all that call upon thy name. I thought about Brother Fred today when I was looking at that and the two men. Thought about Brother Joe. Brother Joe sang that song, took off the old coat, put on the new. Ain't that good? And here in the Scripture, beloved, Saul is not the same anymore. The very one that he persecuted, he's now preaching. Ain't that good? I'll tell you something. Only God can turn a man around like that. A man don't just decide that one day. You say, Pastor, why do you know that Paul didn't decide that? Well, number one, look at the suffering. There's not a man anywhere that just goes to the front of the line and volunteers to suffer. But Ananias had been told, and Paul is going to be shown how great things he must suffer for thy name's sake. I wonder if some people don't have a misconception of scriptural conversion of the new birth. It's almost they think like if I get saved, the conflict will be over. I think some men, they surrender to preach and they just think everybody in the county is going to love them. They will maybe if you compromise, but if you stand on this book, it ain't going to be long. You're going to have trouble even in your own family. Because you stand on the principles of this book. There's two men here. There's an old man. There's an old Saul. But there's a new Saul. He's going to become the apostle to the Gentiles. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus. I like that, don't you? I just caught that phrase, Brother Saul. There's a song, Sister Shelby, I can't remember the name of it, but around here we say brother and sister, or we say brother and sister around here. I know what the song is. It's I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been born of His Spirit and washed in His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Around here we say brother and sister. Amen. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, as sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Immediately there fell from him his eyes been scaled, and he received sight forthwith, and he arose and was baptized. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. Here's what I want to give you in closing tonight. There's two responses to all of this. Some are thrilled. Some are glad that Saul of Tarsus met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Others are furious. They're mad. They're ready to kill him. What are you saying, Pastor? Look here in verse number, and straightway he preached Jesus in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. You remember that's why they crucified Jesus. Because they said when he said that, they understood. There may be so-called, quote-unquote, religions that don't understand when Jesus said he was the Son of God, he made himself equal with God. Read the Bible. They understood what Jesus was saying when he said he was the Son of God. And here, Paul is preaching that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came thither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving. Boy, I'd like to have heard that preaching, wouldn't you, Brother Steve? Proving that this is very Christ. You know what made them mad about Jesus? He tore up their playhouse. When he spake as one having authority. He didn't speak like the scribes and the Pharisees, nor the preachers of our day that don't have enough backbone to say boo. But he stood. Jesus stood on truth. He was truth. And they despised him for it. And now they're despising Paul for the same thing. The Bible said, But Saul increased the more in strength, confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews had him a powwow and said, We're going to have to do to him the same thing we've done to that Jesus. We're going to have to kill him. There's two responses. Some of them are saying, Kill him. But the disciples took him by night. Let him down by the wall in a basket. Boy, I'm glad God's people will rally around when they're needed. Amen. When Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Here's the two responses again. Verse 26, they're afraid of him. But Barnabas took him. Barnabas is not afraid of him. Barnabas believes from the uttermost to the guttermost. A man that'll meet Jesus can have his life changed and turned around for the glory of God. Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. I wonder if I wonder if Paul, and this may not be a real good comparison, but there's things that sticks out in a preacher's mind. I was in a preacher's fellowship years ago at Antioch Baptist Church in Bristol. And they called preachers from the floor in the morning service, and they wanted you to preach 15 or 20 minutes. I'm almost sure, Brother Steve, it was Brother Chris Haslam that got up to preach. They called on him one time, and he got up to preach. And I'm almost sure it was him. And he turned around, and he looked at Brother Craig Edwards. He said, I don't have a watch. How am I going to tell when my 15 minutes is up? And Brother Craig said, I'll pull on your coattail. That's what he said. Brother Chris read his text. He reared back to started preaching. Heaven came down. I don't know, he might have been 7 or 8 minutes into it, Brother Steve, and he pulled that coat off. He threw it to Brother Craig. He said, pull on it all you want to, brother, I'm going to preach. Some see that as a disrespect, but you'd have just had to been there. There wasn't a man in the house that had any discernment about him at all that didn't know that God was in it. And that man needed to preach the message that God had put on his heart. I got up in one of those services, and normally, my wife will tell you, I went through a lot of valleys in the first church I pastored. And many times, I mean, I went to that meeting, Brother Steve, ready to quit. I'm serious. Ready to quit. Ready to throw in the towel. I didn't quit every Monday morning, maybe every other, but went through some valleys. I got up and preached that morning. I'm talking about what Barnabas is doing here. Barnabas took him. I don't know what that means. I don't know, Brother Steve, if he put his arm around him, Barnabas took him. I don't know if he put his arm around him. I don't know if he took him by the hand. I don't know if he just said, come over here and stand with me, Saul. I don't know, but the Bible said Barnabas took him. He didn't put a distance between him and Saul. And the Word of God said, he began to tell the apostles how that he had met Christ in the way, how that he preached boldly. In the name of Jesus. I want you to think about this for a moment. It's not hard for me because what I'm about to tell you. What'd that do for Saul? I want you to ask yourself this question. What if they all felt the same way? None of them trusted him. Got up and preached one morning in that meeting. I sat down. One of those senior men of God got up behind me. Brother Larry, this is what he said. He said, as I travel this land, the Mays Jacksons were passing off the scene. The Brother Bob Steeles, they were passing off the scene. He said, as I travel this land, he said, everywhere I go, people say, preacher, these old preachers are dying. What are we going to do? I'm sitting there about 30 years old. I didn't know much, but I knew him. He looked at that congregation of people and said, bless God, open your eyes. He looked down at me and he said, young man, he said, keep preaching. He looked at the congregation. He said, God's got men coming along. We're having an ordination service in September for Brother Coulter. I want to say to you tonight, God's got men coming along. I believe that was a blessing to Paul, don't you? When just one man took him. There was two responses. Some said, I'm afraid of him. Barnabas said, I'm not. You don't have to be afraid of a man that's met Jesus. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? I tell you what, I don't know what God's going to do between now and next Wednesday night. Ain't nobody here in the teen class, so the rest of you keep your mouth shut. Oh, Brother Gary. Brother Gary's in there. Never mind. Brother Gary, you're going to get in it in the morning and chew on it again anyway, so you can just chew on it again next. Who knows what God will do for next Wednesday night. I want to tell you one more time before I leave this world, I love you. I'm glad people are still meeting Jesus. It may not be as dramatic as the conversion of the Apostle Paul, but it means just as much. It means that that individual no longer has to die without God and go to hell. Now they can be with Jesus in eternity. I'm just glad you come.